Aren't we glad that our sins have been washed away? Before the foundations of the world was even laid, God chose to save mankind through extraordinary means. I'm glad He found us worthy to be saved. We've been sanctified. He called us and gave us that glorious inheritance of heaven. And while the readers of this letter 2,000 years ago in Thessalonica might have a little bit better understanding of some parts, we do have a bigger perspective. The message that Paul is telling us here is to hold on to the gospel that was taught about Christ, not to be deceived by anyone, and not to be fooled by every wind of doctrine. We've been called a lot of things over the years. Today, most of all, we're old-fashioned. But the gospel isn't new. But the gospel is certainly well established by God. While it may be old, it's still fresh. It's living, and it has power beyond what this world can understand. The world wants to say that we are irrelevant. But I guess when you compare us to them who like to live according to the desires of the flesh, we are irrelevant. But the life that we live, the gospel that we preach and teach, and the Jesus that we serve are diametrically opposed to what the world is all about. For certain, this world will be destroyed. Everything that's in it will be gone. Satan and all of his tormentors will be forever cast into the lake of fire. And all of those who claim that we're irrelevant, those who refuse to accept the truth, will be with them. But the salvation that we have and the gospel that we live by and the Holy Spirit that's within us will live forever. And every day that our eyes open, we should be thankful to God for what He has done for us. God did not say before the foundations of the world that when we were born, that we would automatically be saved. There are many passages in the Bible that make us feel good. And we like to read about the blessed calling that God has made to each of us. Passages like the one we just read causes some people some difficulties. But in its full context, it makes it very clear that God calls, we choose to hear and obey, and then God saves. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter used those keys to the kingdom, he delivered a sermon in Acts chapter 2 that was basically about conviction. I'm not talking about what we hold dear in our heart. I'm talking about what pierces our heart. Convicting people that sin took Jesus to the cross, that God raised Him up from the dead. And we look and picture in our minds all of those people standing there at the temple that morning. Many heard that sermon that Peter had preached. Only a small fraction were convicted by what the Bible says. Their hearts were pricked. Peter spoke words that cut their very hearts. It was that that led them to ask what they needed to do to be saved. The words that we pretty much have laid in memory forever. Verse 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That promise was for them. And it is also the very same promise we receive today. Few people in this world today understand that God is calling every single human being to Him. Every single sinner, God is calling to Himself. His calling then was universal through Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The calling was universal, still is universal, and on that day when Peter gave that sermon, it all started with 3,000 Jews. Time went on. God's calling was to everyone. And so the gospel message was carried to the Gentiles first by a man named Cornelius. We have the account in Acts chapter 10. There were very few Gentiles and probably very few Jews who could match the devotion of this man. He impressed God. And God impressed upon Peter and the Jewish Christians, that the gospel was for all. Everyone was subject to God's calling. The man that God chose to bring about the first fruits of Christianity to the Gentiles was Paul. The Bible said that he was chosen. He was the vessel. He was going to take the message to kings. He was going to take it to the Gentiles and even the Jews. Paul took that message on missionary journeys first to the land of Galatia and then on to Europe. Those he wrote to in our scripture reading in Thessalonica were part of the first fruits of Christianity in Macedonia. Verse 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, tells us that God chose us for a reason, that we may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This lends us to the idea that we participate in that glory. The glory was seen in His life while He was on this earth, as He proclaimed the kingdom of God. It is the glory that was seen in His suffering and His death on the cross. It is the glory that was seen in the power of the resurrection, a power that even has resurrected us from the dead, changed us from a man of sin to an heir in heaven. And that glory will be revealed again when Jesus comes to claim His own. We need to hold on to those truths. We need to hold on to the joy of that salvation. Because God is faithful. God will keep all of His promises. What is truth? If you asked 100 people outside of this building in the community, you might get a whole different bunch of meanings on what truth is. Today, we want to redefine it. In verse 15, Paul writes, "So then, brothers, stand firm. Hold on to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by spoken word or by our letter." It bears to us to ask ourselves the question, something we need to seriously reflect on. Are we grounded in God's word? An old proverb says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But how about this one? Better to build a fence at the edge of the cliff than a hospital at the bottom. The best way to prevent error is to teach the truth. Don't have to say that we need to study more, for all of us need to study more. Our classes need to be more than just discussions of feelings, but we need to search for the truth. When we have that truth needs to be ingrained into our lives. If we were to ask, do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Can you answer it? Can you teach someone from the Bible just what he needs to do in order to be accepted by God, that he can accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to be forgiven of their sins? Can you do that today? What the early church did. And it wasn't just the apostles that taught it. We have Priscilla and Aquila. We have many others in the Bible who taught truth and could teach. Our teachings need to stand firm. Instead of being shaken by false teachings, instead of being worried about the second coming or the man of lawlessness, shouldn't we just stand firm and hold on to the truth? I've said it many times, especially when I first started preaching here. Examine everything I say. Everything. I give you some scriptures to look at, but I expect to go much deeper than that if you look at these on your own time. I don't want to fail, and I don't want you to fail. For we teach one another. When we have the truth of God revealed through its fullness, through God's word, then we must stand firm and hold on to them. This particular church had to determine the truth. They didn't have the Bible that we have today. They had Paul who come and taught. They had some other men who came and talked to them, Timothy and some others that were there to help them. But they knew Paul. They had his letters. But it was up to them to decide if they could live by that understanding or listen to a different voice. And that same truth holds to us. Our children sit here with their parents. They sit in the Bible classes. And they hear God's word taught in degrees, a little bit at a time, building the foundation. But there is going to come a time when our children will be on their own. And there will be many interpretations out there. We see them all the time. There are going to be things that you're going to hear that are contrary to what you've been taught. But the time will come when you are going to have to determine which voice you want to listen to. I'm asking that it not be mine or anyone else. Let it be God's. That's the voice. His word is what we should listen to. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this evening. To turn away from the life that you have lived and are living, to get the past mistakes exactly there in the past and forgiven. Through repentance and confession and having your sins washed away in New Testament baptism, you can become that child of God and become a part of His church. If you are a Christian and you need to make things right with God, or you just need our prayers, if there's any that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.